For more information on Victory Faith Centre and to download sermons at no charge, visit www.victoryfaithcentre.org.au.
Lord, and commit ourselves once again to be hearing from Him. Heavenly Father, we praise You and thank You. We thank You for Your precious word. We thank You, Lord, for what You are doing in our midst, in our hearts, in our lives, and we praise You, Lord, for that. And Father, as we look into Your righteous cause, we, Lord, commit ourselves to be people of honour, of truth and integrity, and we thank You, Lord, that You are helping us and showing us Your way, and we receive that in Jesus' name. Amen. Well, praise the Lord. We're looking this morning at honouring God's righteous cause, and it is a very important subject for believers in Christ to take hold of this and to see that there is a purpose that we are on the earth for. We are not people that are just here to live life like the heathen and expect that at the end of our life, after we've gone to heaven, that the Lord is going to be pleased if we've done nothing. No, we've been created unto good works, and this is a very important thing to understand. Let's have a look at Exodus 19, first of all, verses 5 and 6. Exodus 19, verses 5 and 6. And as we look at this, we see that it was God's will, right from the beginning, it was God's will that He have a peculiar treasure of His people, and that His people were to be reflective of Him and what He wants to do. And this is an important thing to understand, that the people of God are meant to reflect God and His glory, are meant to be conformed to Him, conformed to His ways, understanding of Him, understanding of His ways, and so on. So we see here in Exodus 19, verses 5 and 6, it says, "Now therefore, if ye will obey my voice indeed, and keep my covenant, then ye shall be a peculiar treasure unto me above all people, for all the earth is mine. And ye shall be unto me a kingdom of priests, and an holy nation. These are the words which thou shalt speak unto the children of Israel." Now you might think, well, that's just to natural Israel. But the Bible reflects that, and we'll read it in 1 Peter chapter 2 in a minute, reflects that of the New Testament people of God, the New Testament believers. So we see that God's purpose to have a peculiar treasure unto Him above all people is it's not gone by the wayside. It is still for today. And He's still wanting His people to be a kingdom of priests and a holy nation unto Him. And this is important for us to see, that we are to be part of that. We are to be part of the kingdom of priests and a holy nation. And so we can see that right at the beginning of verse 5, He says, "Now therefore, if ye will obey my voice indeed and keep my covenant." So He starts with His word right from the beginning. The word of God is the foundational thing that we must have in our hearts and minds. And Jesus talked about, of course, we know that, He talked about building your house upon a rock so that there is that firm foundation. Foundation of Christ and His sayings. So let's have a look at 1 Peter 2, verses 5 to 10. Now in 1 Peter 2, 5 to 10, we see a reflection of what we just read in Exodus 19. But now it's applied to spiritual Israel, and of course the people of God as a whole is known as Israel. So 1 Peter 2, 5 to 10. And notice what it says here, "Ye also, as lively stones, are built up a spiritual house and holy priesthood to offer up spiritual sacrifices acceptable to God by Jesus Christ." So there is a building program which is all about God's cause on the earth that he is doing right now. And Jesus said that he is building his church. He will build his church. Ye also as lively stones. That's us, you and me. We are part of a spiritual house. We're a holy priesthood. Verse 6. Wherefore also it is contained in the scripture, behold, I lay in Sion a chief cornerstone, elect, precious, and he that believeth on him shall not be confounded. So we see Sion, you should know, is a type of the church, another name for the church, and God has laid that chief cornerstone, the Lord Jesus Christ. And we who believe on him shall not be confounded. That's why it says believe on him, because he's the foundation. And we take that fact into our hearts and lives as we live our life on this earth. It's not that we live for ourselves anymore. It is that we live for him, and we are part of that spiritual house. Then in verse 7 he says, unto you therefore which believe, he is precious. But unto them which be disobedient, the stone which the builders disallowed, the same is made the head of the corner, and a stone of stumbling, and a rock of offence, even to them which stumble at the word, being disobedient, whereunto also they were appointed. So here we see that there is a comparison between those that are obedient and those that are disobedient. Those that are obedient see Christ as precious. That's what it says there. Unto you therefore which believe, he is precious. And we believe, we believed on him, we have received him as our Lord and our Saviour, and he is precious to us. So therefore, if we see him as precious, then we see his words as precious. We see his way as precious. We see who he is and what he is as precious in our sight. But of course, there are those who are disobedient. Disobedient to the gospel, which gives the claim on them that they must repent of sin and come to Christ as the Saviour, as the one who has provided salvation and paid for salvation by his blood. Notice what it says in verse 9. But ye, that's those who have believed on him, those who believe that he is precious and trust in him. But ye are a chosen generation, a royal priesthood and holy nation, a peculiar people, that ye should show forth the praises of him who hath called you out of darkness into his marvellous light, which in time past were not a people, but now the people of God, which had not obtained mercy, but now have obtained mercy. So we see that we've been chosen, the chosen generation. We see that we are a royal priesthood, a kingdom of priests. So there is a royalty that we have because we are sons and daughters of the King. Sons and daughters of God. So we are royal. We are kings and priests unto God. Notice in holy nation. And if we go to teach all nations, as the scripture tells us, then we should be reflecting what it means to be a holy nation. What is a holy nation? Well, it's one that is separated unto the Lord, one that upholds truth, upholds the word of God, one that has the order of the Lord in it. Okay, so that's important for us. A peculiar people means a standout people, people that are different from those who are disobedient. Now notice that as the Bible tells us here, we've been called out of darkness into his marvellous light. So there is that good direction that the Lord has given to us. Let's have a look at Psalm 26, verses 5 to 8. Psalm 26, verses 5 to 8. We're looking today at honouring God's righteous cause, and I'm setting the scene, so to speak, the foundation that we can understand where we are and who we are. We're not just a people that have no direction. We're not a people that have no foundation. We're not just living on the earth for ourselves, but we're living for God. We are His servants. So looking at Psalm 26, verses 5 to 8. Psalm 26, 5 to 8. It says, I have hated the congregation of evildoers and will not sit with the wicked. Okay, will not sit with the wicked. I will wash mine hands in innocency. So will I compass thine altar, O Lord, that I may publish with the voice of thanksgiving and tell of all thy wondrous works, all thy wondrous works. Lord, I have loved the habitation of thy house and the place where thine honour dwelleth. Now notice, I have loved the habitation of thy house and the place where thine honour dwelleth. There is a place where God's honour dwells. And we honour God, we fear the Lord. There is a place where we can come, when we can love the habitation of God's house. There is God. He meets us. He shows us things. He reveals himself to us. But as it says in verse 5, we will not, or should not, sit with the wicked. And there's many places that we could sit with, and we could say, well, I'm going to be with the unbelievers in this and agree with them and all that type of thing. But no, we're a peculiar people, remember. So we've got to stand out. And that's one of the things about the house of God. It is a different place. And it should be a different place. It's a holy place. Okay. Look at Psalm 35. Go across to Psalm 35. We'll start from verse 1. And here he talks about his cause. That is, why he is on the earth. What's he doing? What's he doing? So Psalm 35, we'll start from verse 1. We'll go to verse 9 initially. Plead my cause, O Lord, with them that strive with me. Fight against them that fight against me. So he's got a cause, hasn't he? Plead my cause, O Lord. Now, one of the things is that we can pretty much say that a lot of people, in fact, the vast majority of people, have some sort of cause in their life. It could be just for living, to live for themselves. It could be just to honour their family, and that's it. It could be, oh, I'm going to do this, and it's going to help such and such a person. But our cause must be aligned with the Lord, and we'll see that as we go forward. Verse 2, take hold of shield and buckler and stand up for mine help. Draw out also the spear and stop the way against them that persecute me. Say unto my soul, I am thy salvation. God is our salvation. Keep that in mind. He's our shield. He's our buckler. Verse 4, let them be confounded and put to shame that seek after my soul. Let them be turned back and brought to confusion that devise my hurt. Let them be as chaff before the wind, and let the angel of the Lord chase them. Let their way be dark and slippery, and let the angel of the Lord persecute them. For without cause have they hid for me their net in a pit, which without cause they have digged for my soul. Let destruction come upon him at unawares, and let his net that he hath hid catch himself into that very destruction. Let him fall. So let's go down to verse 19 now. Verse 19. And you can read the rest of that yourself, because now we're looking at what is God's cause for us, and how is it that we're to operate whilst we're on the earth? Are we to be people that are just trying to do our own thing and get our own way? Or should we be seeking the Lord with all our heart? And should we be trusting the Lord? Well, the answer to that, I'm sure you would say yes. Verse 19, let not them that are mine enemies wrongfully rejoice over me, neither let them wink with the eye that hate me without a cause. Okay, there's no cause for them to hate him, but they do it anyway because they're motivated by something else, aren't they? Verse 20, for they speak not peace, but they devise deceitful matters against them that are quiet in the land. Now there is a lot of devising of deceit, isn't there? Against them that are quiet in the land. Yea, they opened their mouth wide against me and said, aha, aha, our eye hath seen it. This thou hast seen, O Lord. Keep not silence, O Lord. Be not far from me. Stir up thyself and awake to my judgment, even unto my cause, O my God and my Lord. So we're seeing that his cause must be God's cause. His cause must be God's cause. Judge me, O Lord my God, according to thy righteousness, and let them not rejoice over me. Let them not say in their hearts, ah, so would we have it. Let them not say, we have swallowed him up. Let them be ashamed and brought to confusion together that rejoice at mine hurt. Let them be clothed with shame and dishonour that magnify themselves against me. Let them shout for joy and be glad that favour my righteous cause. Yea, let them say continually, let the Lord be magnified, which hath pleasure in the prosperity of his servant. And my tongue shall speak of thy righteousness and of thy praise all the day long. So we see here that there is a righteous cause, and those that favour that righteous cause, they should be shouting for joy and be glad. Okay? As it says there, let them say continually, let the Lord be magnified, which hath pleasure in the prosperity of his servant. You can see that serving the Lord gives you a reason, a purpose, a cause. Serving the Lord enables us to have meaning whilst we're on the earth. Not to be people that, well, their meaning or their cause is to get to my retirement one day and that'll be it. I'll be happy. And believe it or not, there are people that are exactly like that. But believers in Christ should be people that are aligning their lives with the Lord and what his cause is, what his righteous cause is, what he wants. Glory to God. We must align our cause and purpose on the earth with the Lord. Let's have a look at Romans 8. Romans 8, 27 to 32. Romans 8, 27 to 32. As we get before the Lord and we say, Lord, I want to do what you want to do, want me to do. I don't want to live for myself. I want to do what you want me to do. The Lord will hear that prayer. Now, he will prosper you. He will increase you. He will open up doors for you. Because if you esteem him and his ways, he'll start to esteem you and what you want to do. Of course, as we align our cause and purpose on the earth, more and more we see things his way. Romans 8, start from verse 27, we'll go to 32. 27 says, and he that searcheth the hearts knoweth what is the mind of the Spirit, because he maketh intercession for the saints according to the will of God. And we know that all things work together for good to them that love God, to them who are the called according to his purpose. So what do we see here? We know there's a knowledge in you. We know that all things work together for good to them that love God, to them who are the called according to his purpose. It's a good thing to say in your life. It's a good thing to say that all things are working together for my good. Thank you, Lord. I love you, Lord, and I am the called according to your purpose. Show me your purpose, Lord, in Jesus' name. Show me your purpose. So notice we are called according to his purpose, not our own purpose, according to his purpose. And notice also that we are to be people that love God, that love him with all our heart, all our mind, all our soul. Okay? And that's the way you've got all things working together for your good. For good. The devil might think to do something, but it gets tripped up. And all things work together for your good. Okay? Verse 29. For whom he did foreknow, that's you and me, he also did predestinate. That means he planned out this for us. He did predestinate to be conformed to the image of his Son, that he might be the firstborn among many brethren. This is what we should be conformed to, the image of his Son, to be just like the Lord Jesus Christ. And Jesus said, I come to do the will of the Father, the will of my Father. So we see that the will of God is so very important. The purpose of God is important. The love we have for God is important. Verse 30. Moreover, whom he did predestinate. Okay, that's you and me. He's put a plan in place. You're not here for no reason. You have a reason for being here. You have a reason for being on the earth. Okay. Notice what it says. Moreover, whom he did predestinate, them he also, what do you do? Called. And whom he called, them he also justified. Right? Got you right with him. And whom he justified, them he also glorified. What shall we then say to these things? If God be for us, who can be against us? He that spared not his own Son, but delivered him up for us all, how shall he not with him also freely give us all things? It's a really wonderful scripture there. He spared not his own Son. God put into action his plan on the earth. Delivered him up for us all. We were dead in trespasses and sins. We read before we were in darkness, but we've been called into his marvelous light. Okay. Now, he has called us. He's given us purpose. He has shown us there is a way to go. His way. There is the way of the word of God. Thy word is a lamp unto my feet and a light unto my path. This is so very important. He's not holding anything back from us. As it says there, how shall he not with him, that's with Christ, also freely give us all things. Freely. Freely. He wants to see that his people, we go right back to the beginning of what we read, that his people are hearkening to his voice, fearing the Lord, wanting to do what he wants. And when we get ourselves aligned with him, lots of things will click into place. That's important for us to see. So God has called us according to his purpose. According to his purpose. There is a righteous cause that he has for his people. Okay, let's look at 1 John 3, verses 7 to 10. 1 John 3, 7 to 10. Now remember, we're to be part of that holy nation. A holy nation. Okay? A royal priesthood. God wants his people to be conformed to the image of Christ, to be just like him. And so we're looking at 1 John chapter 3, verses 7. We'll start from verse 7, we'll go to verse 10. Little children, let no man deceive you. He that doeth righteousness is righteous, even as he is righteous. Okay, so are you doing righteousness? If you're a righteous person, you'll be doing righteousness. You'll be doing the right things in God. Verse 10, he that committeth sin is of the devil, for the devil sinneth from the beginning. For this purpose, we're going to align ourselves with this purpose. For this purpose the Son of God was manifested, that he might destroy the works of the devil. Lots of works of the devil at the moment, isn't it? Keeping people back, blinding people's minds to the gospel and to the ways of God, weaving webs of deceit, holding back whole nations, and so on. You can see the activity of devilish spirits over nations in, for example, the book of Daniel. You can see that. But there is a purpose that we're to align with. That is, that the Son of God was manifested that he might destroy the works of the devil. And you know, the building of the church is all part of that. Okay? That we might be people that can, as one man, talking about the church, as one man, walk across the earth and preach that gospel, teach all nations, baptizing them in the hot name of the Father and of the Son and of the Holy Ghost, teaching them to observe all things whatsoever Jesus said, I have commanded you. So we can see that there is a work that's to be done, and it will destroy the works of the devil. Verse 9, whosoever is born of God doth not commit sin, his seed remaineth in him, and he cannot sin because he is born of God. Talking about your spirit, okay? Your spirit is pure in God. That which is born of the Spirit is spirit. And so your nature is not as a sinner. Your nature is as one of the righteous. And you do righteousness. Just like sinners, their nature is to do unrighteousness, to sin. Verse 10, in this the children of God are manifest in the children of the devil. Whosoever doeth not righteousness is not of God, neither he that loveth not his brother. So in other words, if you're a child of God, there's going to be things that will manifest out of your life, and it will be that you'll be doing righteousness. You'll be doing what God wants you to do. And it'll come out of you, out of your inner man. And obviously, the more you get aligned with the Lord, conformed to the image of Christ, the more you'll grow in that. You'll grow in faith, you'll grow in strength, you'll grow to be able to understand more. Because the fear of the Lord is the beginning of knowledge and the beginning of wisdom. And you'll grow more and more to be doing the purpose on the earth that God wants you to do, to get that done. Well, the Lord is building, as we said before. And we won't go to it, but except the Lord build the house, they labour in vain that build it. We must be in God's building program. We can't be in our own. We must be seeking his will and seeking his face about what he wants done. And we can all individually be a part of that, but also corporately. because God has called us according to his purpose. And the important thing for us on the earth is to say, Lord, what is your purpose for me? What is it that you want me to do so that I can align with your cause, your purpose, your righteous cause? Praise the Lord. Let's close in prayer. Heavenly Father, we thank you and praise you. We thank you, Lord, that you have called us, that you've called us to do something for you, called us according to your purpose, that there is a wonderful way ahead for each of us, a wonderful way ahead for this church and for your church across this land. Lord, may many people awaken unto you to see what you have for us, for your people. In the name of Jesus. Help us, Lord. Help us even this week to be people that are diligent in you, that put you first, and that seek you, seek your face about everything, in Jesus' name.